إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وبعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، فقد تكلمنا في المرة الماضية عن حقوق المسلم على المسلم، وذكرنا أن من الحقوق القلبية أن تحب أخاك وأن تغفر له وأن ترحمه وأن ترجو له الخير وأن تظن به ظنا حسنا. Dear brothers and sisters, I just continue from my previous khutbah about the rights of a Muslim upon a Muslim. Last time, I believe I dealt with the, if you like, heart, what you need to have in your heart for your Muslim. So these are the heart rights. So before you say anything, before you do anything towards your brother and sister, you need to have the right heart for them. And I mentioned that you need to love them, you need to wish them well, you need to believe that what they're doing is, if you see something suspicious, you need to really believe that there may be a reason for that, etc. So there is a lot of mercy and love and being affectionate and merciful to your brothers and sisters. That is before you say a word and before you do any action. I believe also one of the rights which is worth mentioning, again, it is to do with one of the faculties of the body, which is the tongue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, and say to people what is good. And there are so many of that. Is, for example, as in the hadith, حَقِّ الْمُسْلِمْ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمْ خَمْسِ وَحَقِّ الْمُسْلِمْ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمْ sit. And there are other hadiths to say that the right of a Muslim upon a Muslim are a few that is mentioned in the hadith. The number itself is not the objective, because there are different numbers, but there are rights, and one of them is to greet them back. If a brother say assalamu alaikum, you greet them back wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa idha huyitum bi tahiyatin fahayyu bi ahsana minha aw rudduha. If you are greeted, then you should greet better, or at least reciprocate the greeting. So if assalamu alaikum, then wa alaikum assalam. And you don't say it with a frowning face. Like, mashallah, Muslims are very good at frowning nowadays. And you look at them, mashallah, you have a beard and they have a beard. So obviously there is Islam between you, as assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And you think, what's going on here? What have I done? Maybe he saw me coming out of a pub, or with a, you know, you start suspecting why. And people think, some Muslims think that frowning is a virtue, it is khushu' or whatever. Khushu' is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but for people is really smiling. And that is, I believe, although it is not within the tongue, but It is part of the facial expression. You need to be cheerful. You need to smile. And this is sadaqah. ابتسامتك في وجه أخيك صدقة. So you reply the greeting. You do better than the greeting. Even if the brother say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, you can even say better. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you? Are you well? Good morning. Good evening. There's no problem. As long as you started with the greeting of Islam, if you add any other greetings that are good, it is also good. It is really reciprocating and giving more. That should bring peace amongst Muslims. As the Prophet ﷺ, he said that, should I not tell you something that if you do, you will have peace and love amongst you? He said, أفشوا السلام بينكم. Let السلام. السلام is the greeting itself and peace as well. Because of course, when you say السلام عليكم, السلام is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also it means peace be upon you. And if you say peace with your tongue, you need to show it. If that is your neighbor, you say السلام عليكم and then you start hurting them and throwing rubbish at them and waging war against your neighbors. So you are not serious with what you're saying. So you need, your tongue needs to comply with your action. Assalamu alaikum is a very meaningful, of course, it is, it carries a lot of reward, and also it spreads peace, and it is the greeting of Islam. وتشميت العاطس, and if the brother say, if they sneeze, and they say Alhamdulillah, because if you sneeze, you should say Alhamdulillah. And then, if you hear your brother sneezing and saying Alhamdulillah, say Yarhamukumullah, may Allah have mercy upon you. And then they reply Yarhamukumullah wa yuslih balakum, or whatever of the what the Sunnah brought. But at least if someone sneezes, they should say Alhamdulillah. And if there are people, they do not know this Sunnah, we teach them. Say, brother, sister, when you sneeze, you should say Alhamdulillah. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by sneezing, something bad was pushed away from you. We don't want to go into the science of that, but you may want to do so. Kaffil adha. Kaffil adha is really to stop harming people with the tongue. The tongue, dear brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that in hadith Qudsi, ما يرويه عن ربه, ضمنت الجنة لعبدي إذا ضمن لي ما بين لحييه وما بين فخذيه. I grant, that is hadith Qudsi, narrated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about his Lord, I guarantee Jannah to my servant if they guarantee what is between their jaws and between their legs. And the tongue, as in hadith Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when the Prophet ﷺ, he said, كُفَّ عَنْكَ هَذَا, be careful with your tongue. And he said, يا رسول الله, أَوْ نَحْنُ مُؤَخَذُونَ بِمَا نَقُولُ. Is Allah subhanahu, look, you know, people at the beginning, they thought, you know, when you say something, it's just a word. It doesn't matter. And there are people even after 14 centuries of Islam think the same. It's just a word, I said. Come on, you know, doesn't matter. No, it does. Then he said, وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ أَوْ قَالَ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ إِلَّا مِنْ حَصَائِدِ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. Is it not what leads people to hellfire on their faces, وَلِعَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, but the fruits of their tongues and for what they say? Remember that iman itself is what resides in the heart, and what you say with the tongue and what you display in your actions. So the tongue plays a great deal. When you do da'wah, of course you do it with your actions, but also you do it with your tongue. It's very important, tongue, you know, one way or the other, negatively and positively. So you should really be careful with your tongue upon your brothers and sisters. And as the hadith says, لسانك لا تذكر به عورة امرئ فكلك عورات وللناس ألسن. So your tongue do not mention what is bad about your brother, because a lot of you is bad. There is lots of shortcomings that besets each individual. If you say something, remember that you have a lot also to be said about you. So be careful. And of course, with the tongue, you do not gossip. You do not backbite. Al-ghiba wa-namiya. You do not. If a brother says something and then you say, oh, by the way, brother so-and-so, he said so-and-so about you. This is namima, is really to, and that will bring hatred and animosity between people. So all of that is to do with the tongue. And the hadith that says that, إِذَا أَصْبَحَ ابْنُ آدَمْ فَإِنَّ الْأَعْضَاءَ كلها تكفر اللسان تقول اتق الله فينا فإنما نحن بك فإذا استقمت استقمنا وإن اعوججت اعوججنا. رواه الترمذي بإسناد حسن. Every morning the rest of the body is really talking to the tongue, saying that be careful, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with us. We are as a consequence of what you say. If you say bad, we go to hell for that. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. They say if you are straight, we are straight. And if we are crooked, we are also crooked. So the tongue actually is the leader of the body, of the rest of the action. If someone says something, definitely it reflects what is in the heart, and also it leads into actions in the rest of the body. أقول هذا القول وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. In some of my travels, one Portuguese chap, he was the son of the owner of the hotel I used to stay, he was looking for a deen, for religion, and one day he was behind me and he said, you know, please, can you tell me something about Islam? So alhamdulillah, we spent sessions on a weekly basis, once a week, talking about that, about Islam and so on. But also he was listening to other people, and one of the people he was also mixing with, the Buddhist. So he once told me a story. He said, you know, I'll tell you, and he was very happy, and he said, one man passed and he saw a dog, very sick, infected with parasites on the body, etc. So he had mercy upon the dog. So he went to the dog and he wanted to help the dog get rid of the parasites and the worms, etc. So he wanted to remove the harm from the skin of the dog, but he remembered that maybe that will harm the dog. So he used his mouth to remove the worms from the dog. He was so happy telling me, but I was not really impressed. And I said, look, if that is what you're saying true, what is happening in Burma, in Myanmar? The Rohingya, aren't they human beings? Are they at the level of the dog, or above, or below? So if these people are really doing what they're saying, how come millions of people are prosecuted in one place? Maybe it's very strange to start or to mention that in a khutbah. But yes, we need to understand how people on the one hand claim one thing and on the other hand doing something else. So again, I remember giving a similar khutbah in 2012, and I thought perhaps this will go away, but it did not. So what is happening in Myanmar, in Burma? First of all, where is Burma or Myanmar? It is in Southeast Asia. It is bordered by India, Bangladesh, China, Laos, and Thailand. Third of the Burma's total perimeter of 1,200 miles form an uninterrupted coastline along the Bay of Bengal, etc. 40th largest country in the world geographically and second in Southeast Asia. Population, there is a site which belongs to the CIA, the Central Intelligence of America, and they have this data about nations. And I don't believe they can lie a lot, because it's published and people can challenge it. So this is their data. And you know, if they say, for example, there are more than 55 million inhabitants of Myanmar, 4.3 are Muslims. So that's around 2,400,000 Muslims in Myanmar, Burma. Just to give you the rest of the statistics, about 88% are Buddhist, Christians are just over 6%, and the Muslims, as I said, 4.3%. The Muslims of Myanmar are indigenous to Burma. They lived there for generations. And even those who criticize, I heard a Buddhist monk saying that, oh, they came in the 1800s. They may have been before, but let us say that they were in Myanmar in the 1800s. So a century and a half ago, almost two centuries. And yet today they are looked at as aliens. The truth of the matter that they are indigenous to the place, and even if they were, if you like, aliens, or if they were immigrants, no one can accept the sort of treatment they are going through. So, again, I would say that they are indigenous to Burma, Myanmar. They are not immigrants. But even if they were immigrants, then when did they immigrate? And if they immigrated in the 1800s, if you came to Britain 10 years ago and you were legal, within 10 years, depending if you are a student or if you are a professional, within 5 years, the law allows you to be considered, at least, to be British. Let alone if you lived in the country from the 1800s. They now have become aliens in their and their ancestral home, in their ancestral home, and according to the Burmese authorities, they need to go back home. So they are considered to be illegal and aliens. Some consider them most persecuted people on earth, perhaps I would say beside the Palestinians. At least the Palestinians have been prosecuted for longer period. Maybe it in different shapes. In Gaza, it's a big prison. People are starving. Unemployment more than 80%. Anyway, but they are prosecuted definitely in a way that you've never seen before. They are denied the most fundamental rights belonging to the, and one of them is belonging to the country of their birth and that of their countless generations before them. They are even denied to call themselves Rohingya. I tried to find the right pronunciation of Rohingya. In some BBC journalists, they said Rohingya and Rohingya. and there is Rohingya, so I gave up. But anyway, they call themselves Rohingya. You could call yourself whatever you like. Bengali, Muslim, whatever. You call yourself whatever you like. They call themselves Rohingya. And yet, in the last census, there was no option to identify themselves. United Nations. As they can take hours to decide anything against North Korea or anybody else, but it took them weeks to say that what is happening in the Rakhine state might be ethnic cleansing, might be. So they failed. There is certainly no level of, and they're talking about the level of cleansing. How do you define that? If you are pushing people, more than 400,000 fled into Bangladesh, and the army put landmines on that place, so as when they come back, they are blown up. They have been subjected to mass genocide, forced displacement within and without Burma itself, murder, mutilation, arson, complete villages and towns were burned down by the Burmese police and army and Buddhist terrorists, that they were instrumental in doing that, and rape. Many reports talk about rape of young women in that. There is a history of prosecution which I have here, but I don't believe that, you know, but you need to understand that these people, they have scholars, they have educated people. No matter who they are, they deserve to be citizens. They should not be prosecuted. They should not be killed. And also, one of the things which is very interesting is, in 2012, Aung San Suu Kyi, which again, it's a mouthful to pronounce, a Nobel Prize winner, at that time, she was outside the country because she was an activist. But she came back and there were a democratic process and so on. I don't know, nowadays she is a state councillor or foreign minister, no one knows. She was quiet at that time, and today she is just as quiet. And what she says is meaningless. These are the people who won a prize, a Nobel Prize, for their peace. Dear brothers and sisters, these are our brothers and sisters. They need your help. Maybe every day we talk about Yemen, starvation and cholera and deprivation, etc. We talk about Syria, we talk about Palestine, and we talk about Myanmar and so on. No matter what, you need to endeavor to help your brothers and sisters as much as you can with dua. Before dua even, try to understand who these people are. Don't take it for granted. Go and do some research. Who are they? What are they doing? Where they came from? Are they really alien or are they Bangladeshi? Or who are they? And even if they were, what is happening to them? You need to understand that. And then you need also to help other people, knowing that they have more than 2 million brothers and sisters being, as I said, considered to be most prosecuted on earth, a group with killing, arson, burning, mutilation, rape, and so on. And then, please, there are so many charities that collect money for them to help them, Islamic Relief and others. So please do so. Do not, you know, there could be some Fridays that the brothers say, we are collecting, but do not wait for that. Do it yourself. You go to, you all have websites and you know how to get there. It's very, very easy. And then you can donate whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the iman to donate. And don't forget them in your dua. And remember that wherever there is a Muslim on earth, he is our brother. And if there is a Muslim, and she is our sister, and we need to aid them, and we need to go and help in any way we can, with dua, with information, with charity, etc. أقول هذا القول وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وأنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.